Hey, welcome back, Sean.
Hey.
All right. So once again, I just want to say that this is my first episode since, last May, I believe, or the May before that May. And that last episode was with Sean McMahon, who is my guest today. And he's also known as Workman Song. If you haven't checked him out, definitely check him out. Listen to the older episode. Listen to this episode. Check them out. They're going on the road. They're going to be here in New York, in Brooklyn, and New York. Yeah, in New York, in the city. And I just wanted to say real quick that you're listening to Who Dares Wins podcast. I'm your host, JP Ross. And Who Dares Wins podcast is a podcast for the believer to speak hope, faith, and courage in a time of confusion. Or a podcast to encourage hope and faith through storytelling. So, Sean, welcome. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. And how are you?
Oh, man, it's nice to be back. It's been over a year. That's crazy.
Yeah. A lot has happened. I feel like after our last episode, I was feeling really good. And then in June, I got hit by a car, and I literally nearly died. Was like in a coma, and many months later, recovering. And there's still more recovery to happen, but I also. What I thought was really interesting is when I started to kind of come back into this more and more, and, I've been doing videos and doing this podcast. Well, now I'm doing this podcast, but I've just been learning a lot. And one of the things that I noticed was that our episode was the most listened to episode out of all my episodes. And I was like, wow, that's really, really interesting. And I really loved our conversation. But I thought it was really interesting. And then when I saw that you were coming on tour, and I obviously support you all the way. But I was just like, wow, it'd be really cool to just have you on the show. And and just kind of like, put it out there like that you're coming to check it out and to add my part with what platform I have. And of course, I'll see you in the city. But I really want to say, too, that, I feel like the music is even tighter and fuller and better than I remember in the beginning. Like, since that first demo with Workman Song, it's like, bro. Thanks, so bro. Proud. Yeah, bro. Proud of you. Proud of your family, too.
It's funny how it's always come up out of the church. Like, when I was starting off in New York, like, it just happened that I got everything together for that recording when we started worshiping together at Bushwick Abbey. And, that met in the back of that bar, Radio Bushwick, remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
They'd be serving like mimosas at Mass. And
and they
hosted like the release show and everything. I'm like, oh, this is hilarious. Because like now I'm on the Vineyard where I do all my ministry. And like, it's kind of like, I took a page from that and started, the Holy Rock and Roll Revival Ministry at our dive bar. And then a real church was like, hey, why don't you just preach for us on Sunday mornings? So I'm like writing music for church. And, it's always just coming out of the kingdom, It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I feel like it's so cool, the type of platform you have. And I feel like how authentic you've been. Like, you've always been someone that is like thoughtful toward theology, thoughtful toward faith, and just like really connecting on a human level for people. But then also like very much an artist, very much a musician, and a creator, and a creator of like beauty. And so it's just so cool how it's all coming together. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see you next week. And those that are listening, definitely come next week. one of the things I did is to be ready for this is I just wanted to let everyone know that they will be here next week, November 13th in Williamsburg at Bergie Brews. I don't even know that one, but they're
that's
be
a different Williamsburg.
That's right.
That's in Williamsburg, Massachusetts. But after that, we're in New York.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Trick to fool you,
bro. I swear, I've looked at this so many times, and I keep being like Williamsburg, Brooklyn. No, it's not. Okay, all right. So November 14th in New York at Rockwood Music Hall. Amazing space, beautiful space. A lot of my friends. Yeah, kicked off their careers through that space. Then they're in Brooklyn on November 15th at the Skinny Dennis. Awesome, cool place with a lot of good music and yeah, just like a good vibe for the Workman song. And then November 16th in New York at the Bowery Electric, another iconic place. Literally, like right down the road from where CBGB's used to be, I think. And then November 17th in Brooklyn at Pony Boy, which I don't know, but I know it's going to be awesome. And then there's
a fun joint. Yeah, that's a good place.
Cool. And then I see on November 18th, there's an opening for like a possibility of another space. And then the final show will be on November 19th at the Groove in Manhattan. So. Yeah, man, it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, I feel like one of the things that's been really good is that, one, like, you know, I get to meet you, get to meet your family. But, like, at the same time, it's like just seeing how you incorporated it all. You know, that, like, through music, you even met your wife, you know, and, you know, the mother of your children and your family. And, yeah, man, so what is – yeah, like what is what's your thoughts as you do this circuit ride tour for now? Yeah.
Well, part of why we're doing regional and residency based is to finally execute an idea I've been thinking about since just before the pandemic, because I was hoping 2020 to be like a great touring year. I was all ready. Our kid was 2 or 3, you know, she was like perfect age, like And I've always had this idea, like whenever I went on tour with Streets of Laredo, with Bird Courage, I did most of my touring. Whenever I went with them, like we'd just be driving more than hanging out. And I always thought, you know, it would be so much nicer to get to spend a little more time in the cities and towns that we're in and even the regions in general, and maybe start to build like a wider network. And you know, either network communities together or build our own community. And you know, since that wasn't able to happen in 2020, and you know, 2021 was just playing catch up. I was playing all on the Vineyard, just like hustling, playing dive bar gigs, playing for summer people, playing private parties and weddings, just to, you know, recover financially.
Mm-hmm.
So 2022 was a little like that too, but my wife is pregnant again. So, you know, we're going to, you know, I just figured this is kind of the last time in 2022 before we can really squeeze something in. And I wanted to try this idea. And as you can see, like we're going all over New York and Brooklyn, and each one of these places, we're going to do a different type of show. And we're basically going to try to do, you know, a circuit ride goes back to, like the Methodist circuit riders, their preaching's touring a circuit, and you know, the preachers would try to go in a circuit to like try to intentionally, you know, plant and water, you know, evangelical communities and communities of witness to Christ, revivals, you know.
Yes.
And it's important to like do the circuit so that the people stick together. So part of what we're, you know, thinking about. And also our home base residency at the Ritz Cafe in Oak Bluffs, that's on Circuit Ave, because the circuit riders used to ride down Circuit Ave when they were doing revivals on the Vineyard. Wow. So it's a bit of an homage to where we come from. But, you know, when we go to Rockwood, we're going to do a lot of original music that's a little more intimate for that room. When we go to Skinny Dennis, that's like a honky-tonk country joint. So we're going to play a lot of country music.
Nice.
And like kind of, we like to do like muscular kind of Nashville, you know, shred, honky tonk. Like we just like, we really let it hang out. At Bowery Electric, you know, we'll probably do a little more like loud rock, you know.
Gotcha.
Pony Boy is like a, it's a fun club. It's small. It used to be the Manhattan Inn. It's on Manhattan Ave in Greenpoint. And my friend James took it over and he's turned it into this like incredible club. You know, they give us like 2 hours to play there. So there will just kind of be like a dance band. Like our job will just be getting people to dance. And like when we have that blank palette, things are going to get crazy. That's like why people kind of have started following us on the Vineyard, because it's like, we never play the same show twice. And that's why I was like, let's just go, we should just go to like cities and live there for like a week and just like let people follow us, you know. It's convenient. It's not like anyone has to get in their car and drive to another town to do it. Right. And bring some people together, and you know, that's kind of the idea behind that. And you know, it's fun. The trio that we got together, which is a quartet, when we have my wife with me, it's like we're very flexible. We just, you know, play the music like it's putty, and just one song morph into another song, and we just get really excited about making the best music we can make. And the repertoire is huge, so we really just let it hang out. Like, we never know what we're going to play before we go on stage. It's always spontaneous.
Wow. That's so cool, man. That's so cool. And what do you have planned for the Groove?
That'll be more of an original set too. We've okay. never been to the Groove, so I actually have no idea like what the vibe is. So we'll just kind of play that one by ear.
Yeah. I mean, the name Groove, I mean, it seems like it's going to be like funky, you know, like people.
You know what I would think too?
You know?
But if like people are sitting down, like it's like, well, should we be more jazzy? Like, because I fully believe like just play the room. You know, some people are like, some people have a package show that they bring from place to place. I just like to play the room. So I'm kind of hoping that Groove might end up being kind of like our jazz show.
Yeah. That's cool. I really think that's so cool how I really don't find this in a lot of artists, but like you're able to like create spontaneously and in the moment, which is just really like I can't think of the word, but like it's kind of like a token to the type of artistry, the kind of artist that you are and that your band is that like you just really are all about creating and like being in the moment. And I think it's going to be really cool. Like these are a lot of different like funky type of shows and stuff. And that was actually what I was going to say about Skinny Dennis. I was like, yeah, it's like a honky tonk bar, you know?
Yeah. We're going to play like country music. I have like a whole catalog of country music. Wow. I definitely wasn't playing country music when I was a New Yorker. Like, dude, when I was a New Yorker, like I was very, I was kind of in like a troubled period. You know, I was searching and searching, and I didn't have a lot of happiness in my life, which fit in perfectly there. So like, you know, I was just always alone with my acoustic guitar, kind of playing hushed, you know, candlelit kind of stuff. And it's really beautiful. And I still play that repertoire and I love it. But, you know, I did that for like a year and a half. And then I just started playing like New York rock and roll. And now, you know, I've been out and I've been doing dive bars. I've been doing so much more like, you know, classic Baptist hymns at church. I've been doing gospel. So, you know, to me, it's all about like just going out there and having fun and like creating fun. And one of the things that I feel like I can offer the most to New York City right now is like a lot of happiness and joy and fun. And we're going to have like the band's hilarious. Like there's a lot of jokes going on stage, and you know, so you know, it's a different thing every season since I, you know, started living in New York and being connected to the city. It was very dark when I started, and you know, I think that was healing. That was a healing ministry for others and for myself at the time. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, well, I've come out the other end. I'm, you know, I'm a wounded healer, and I can go out there and I know how to crack a joke about the crap I've been through, and like, we just like have fun. And I literally love playing. Like, I just love playing. And I think people will really find that infectious. I mean, I'm really excited about traveling again, because we've just been so bowled over at what's happened the past 2 years on the Vineyard, where like people come And, you know, they're staying there for like a weekend or for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, and they just follow us to every gig. And I'm like,
Wow.
this is it. Like, I get to know these people. I know
That's
them by
cool.
name. They're like inviting us into their communities out on the mainland, which I hope we can do next year. And it's like
Wow.
that, you know, I love touring. Don't get me wrong. I love touring with like Streets of Laredo and Bird Courage, like town to town on the road. That is incredible. But I can't say that I had that many friends in every town we went to because you don't always have time. Sometimes you finish a gig, get right in the van, you know? So I'm loving this model. And, you know, I've also been doing a lot more content trying to like coach musicians and other artists, like just, you know, how to think a little more wide and outside the box about how to have a music career, because there's so many opportunities to play, but you know, a career is something that ideally, you know, takes care of you and your loved ones, and there are like different angles to offer what gifting you have in order to make that work. Like when I first started, I was doing everything for free as a ministry, and that worked for a while, and now I have a family, and so I started doing more of the dive bar stuff. And instead of a ministry, it's a business, but it's a business that subsidizes my ministry. You know, so it's like everyone can find different places for their skills and for their passions, and that's what I found. Like I've never found that traditional models work for me. Maybe just because you know, I'm impulsive and change music styles a lot, so it's hard to like market that. But if I'm just like, yo, I'm gonna be in town for like 5 nights and everything will be different, and that's the point, and let's like hang out and have fun. Well, that's what's worked for me, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that's so awesome. Hey, so one last question before I let you go.
Yeah, and I
I'm
got a
looking.
question for you too.
Oh, okay. Well,
Yeah,
I
I gotta.
gotta. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I really gotta know. Like, we're buds. Anyone listening, we're buds. So you have my deepest sympathies about the accident. That's horrible. And we've already touched base to anyone listening. But I'm gonna ask the really crazy, insensitive, psychedelic question. But like, you were in a coma. Did you see anything?
No.
So you were in a deep sleep.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything I remember, I just kept saying, Jesus, help us.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. All right. So when this good question. This poster.
Everyone wants to know. I like to ask the morbid questions that no one has the nerve to ask. It's like everyone wanted to know. So I took one for the team.
Amen, amen, amen. It's funny because they'll be like, "Oh, the God did say anything." And I'm like, I don't know. I just woke up and I don't know if I had peace. I mean, a lot of people say I was all over the place, but I don't remember. Okay, so in the poster, not in the one that like you can maybe this is the one, but anyway, for this one that I'm looking at with the dates, explain the imagery. Is this like out of Revelation or because this looks like a lamb with
Well,
multiple eyes? It's like it's
yes.
all seeing. What's that
Yeah,
about?
yeah. Well, some people hate that. So when I first released my first EP, which was the Lamb EP, that was the design, and I spent a long time trying to do that. Yes, indeed. It is the Lamb from Revelation 5, you know, and it's the Lamb appears to have been slain, standing in the center of the throne, you know, and had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the seven spirits of God. So I initially in 2014, I made that into like a line drawing, just like a design. And then our friend Kelly for this tour poster, like I asked her, like, could you make this kind of crazy Grateful Dead, you know, version of the Lamb that's fleshed out and looks almost real, and you know, and also put some cowboy Americana stuff and like some eagles and guns. And she blew my mind. Like, if you go to my Instagram page, Workman Song, like we did a grid post so you can see it in detail. Like, she did such a great job. But yeah, like some people see the design, especially, and they think maybe it's like a Southwestern, like indigenous American design, and they worry that's like, or they worry that's satanic. Like, someone's like, so there's an eye in the middle, like that must be the all-seeing eye.
Nah, this is
I'm
a
like, well,
lamb, man.
one, Yeah, but one, what's the problem with that? Like, because haven't you heard of the Eye of Providence? Like, that's literally an ancient Christian icon. And it's literally, it's either an eye in the center of like a glowing orb, or it's Jesus as the eye in the middle of a glowing orb, or sometimes it's like this lamb where there's six eyes on the side, and then in the middle is the large seventh eye, and it's meant to depict this same concept. And it really resonated with me because, you know, again, when I first designed it, I was living in Bushwick, and I don't know if you're at this meeting, JP, but there was this meeting at Bushwick Abbey where people were talking about like gentrification and like how do all the white, you know, young artists, hipsters who are moving in here, like how do they not disturb too much of what's going on?
Yeah, with, like, I think I remember that.
Yeah, and like people were like, yeah, well, we can like do all these things and have these like farmers markets and do lots of street art and all this stuff, and you know have art that's about decolonization. Well, some of this art was like satanic imagery. And so some of the Spanish speaking residents were like, how about less of that? like some of them, like, I don't know if you remember, we still have that, I believe last time I was there, I think like near Star, I want to say, mm-hmm. Or maybe Soydum, but just by, I think it's by the edge of Maria Hernandez by the Star stop or the Jefferson stop. There's like an Our Lady of Guadalupe by that farmer's market. And that's been there for a long time. And I know that they've like done some work to like keep that there. I don't know who put it there, but like, that's good. Putting up all the satanic stuff like ain't cool. And we talked about this, like all the satanic occult stores that popped up around Bushwick. And it's like, yeah, they think they're decolonizing because they think Satanism is decolonizing because they think Christ is a colonizer. It's like, well, but Christ is kind of a colonizer, and some people like it that way. and I could go in a whole theological spin about that. But anyway, part of why I designed the original lamb symbol the way I did was to kind of blend in to the satanic imagery. I wanted something that kind of looked like what was trending at the time, so that when someone's like, cool, is that the devil? I'd be like, it's literally Jesus.
I feel you. It's literally Jesus. I felt that.
That's the point of combo, you know?
Yep. It's like, as I looked at it more and more, I was like, wait, because I'm like in a prophetic, charismatic, like Mike Bickle type community, you know, where Revelations is big. And I was like, yo, this is like Revelation. This is like Revelation. Yeah. Had I not known that, I might have been like, I'm like, oh, there's like horns and, you know, but it's like, a lot of times when we think a certain way, it's because we haven't really read into or thought more into, you know, the depth, you know? And so it's like, that made a lot of sense. Cause I know from knowing you that you overt yet subversive, way of, communicating the gospel and communicating love and joy, especially in like, you know, to the folks that like listen to what we listen to and are into what we're into. And it's like, wow, this is the Lamb of God. This is the Lord, you know, and it's not anything like that. It's actually like very glorifying of God. God does see everything and he's over everything. And I just wanted to ask about it because I was like, bro, like this is good. This is powerful, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Revelation. I mean, I've loved studying eschatology over the past few years because Revelation is such a beautiful book. Like, you know, I've done a lot of studies now, like online. You should check them out. Like I did a study on Revelation and I'm doing a study on Isaiah 126 right now.
Yeah,
which is about the restoration of the judges. Like when I stumbled upon that prophecy, by the way, it says, I shall restore your judges as in the first, as in the beginning. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, cause that appeals to me as a Jew. I'm like, that's talking about like the 70 elders of Israel, like that Moses, set up. And I'm like, that's funny. Cause you always hear about the kingdom of God being set up, the kingdom of David being restored in Christ. And it's always kind of like, oh yeah, well, the kingdom, you know, came from Saul, and he kind of shut down the period of the judges. So like, we kind of assume that the judges aren't a part of it. Like, and I'm like, oh, no one, I've never seen anyone talk about this. What is this Isaiah 126 thing? So I've been getting into it. And like, I just see so much of it fulfilled in history, because so much of it was what Jesus was fulfilling. Mm. So, you know, we talked about this in the last thing, like the finished work of Christ is the lens to really view all this stuff through. And whereas Revelation is actually full of very creepy imagery, just like Ezekiel and Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, through the lens of the finished work of Christ, it's like, no, wait a minute. Like, this is incredible, and this is beautiful, and this is comforting, because it's telling us, you know, everything that had to happen in order for us to have the relationship with God and Christ that we can now enjoy today.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
Very beautiful stuff. So, you know, lifting those images and turning it into something that might creep out a Christian, like, yo, I don't mind. Like, I was playing an evangelical concert up in New Hampshire, and a woman was like, yeah, that's satanic. And eventually, like, I, you know, she came around to my point of view. I was like, honestly, I didn't design this for you. I designed this for people who don't believe yet. Like, this will piss off people who don't believe if they make assumptions about what it is.
Right, like, right,
like,
right.
This is designed to like reach out to people that like are looking for Satanism, and I want them to like find what they think is satanic, and then I'll be like, this is what it is. Like the same thing with the upside down crosses. I'm like, has anyone ever explained to this upside down cross like fashion thing? Like that's the cross of Saint Peter, bro.
Mm.
Like that's the cross that Peter was crucified in Rome. Like he was too humble to be crucified like Christ, so he has to be crucified upside down.
Wow.
So that's where that comes from. And like, you know how it is. Like, it's either Satan or just idiots want to take that.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, people are so, I hate to say stupid, like, you know, but like us people in general, like we really think that taking symbols and kind of reversing them will actually kind of like fight the power they represent. So like taking a cross, you really think taking a cross and turning it upside down is going to like combat the power of God? Bro, like,
you know what I noticed is there's a band, because I don't want to hold you so long, but there's a band that really like they used to be called Sleeping Giant, now they're called Holy Name. It's the same singer, and part of their whole
shirt.
Whoa.
Yeah,
really?
Their sweatshirt. Yeah, go on though, tell your listeners.
Wow. So so basically like Tommy went through a hard time and a lot of different challenges, a lot of things that didn't really seem to make sense, and he was really wrestling with his faith, and he found that by going and studying the Orthodox, like the orthodoxy of the church, the history of the church and of the sacraments and these holy things, that he was like, wow, like before all of this, it was just meeting and breaking bread and remembering Jesus. And so on a lot of their merch is the like upward like cross, the middle cross, and then the downward cross. And I feel like I'm still learning about it, but it's like basically that's Christ is above all. Like, and to me, it reminds me of like Ephesians, you know, it's like above the earth, under the earth, like the whole thing. Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. And and so that made me think of what you were talking about with the inverted cross.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. So I got their merch. I got their sweatshirt because it's got like all this beautiful Orthodox, like,
sacred. Bro, I got the same one. I was wearing it. I went to see AFI last night. I was wearing it there.
Yeah. Like holy, holy God, holy mortal. Yeah. It's a beautiful sweatshirt.
Whoa.
But yeah, like I'm all about that. Like when I wasn't joking when I said like Jesus was a colonizer, and like, I will challenge people with that because, you know, you should check out my study, bro, on Isaiah 26 on my YouTube channel. Like the last part's coming out tomorrow, 12 of 12. It's like It's shocking. I was shocked what I found in this study. But to summarize, it's like, you know, Jesus set up like a functioning kingdom on earth and he rules it from heaven, but he's got like a serious administration on earth. And when you're looking at the early church, like it's, you see this in the Orthodox tradition, you see this in the Catholic tradition, and the Eastern Catholic tradition, like this was a kingdom. They took themselves seriously as a kingdom. And they were like, they were gunning for the empire. They're like, no, Jesus is going to take this over. Like Jesus is going to be crowned and enthroned above the empire. And that's why the tradition of Peter and Paul's martyrdom in Rome is so important in both of these traditions. Because like, do you remember how the book of Acts ends?
I mean, as far as I know, like, Paul live out the rest of his days?
Yeah, it says Paul, like, he arrives in Rome and he preaches there without hindrance, and that's how it ends. And it's like, it's almost anticlimactic. You're like, okay, that's it. But it's like, yes, that's it, because he got to the capital of the empire, and it connects to all these prophecies of Daniel about that kingdom, the fourth kingdom, that would be given to the saints. So everyone was waiting, like, when is this kingdom that has taken over the people of God's kingdom, the Israel, when is this kingdom of Rome going to fall under the dominion of Christ, right? Mm. And I think we sometimes take for granted in our worship, which is so spiritual, like, just how real these terms about, like, thrones, like, I'll give you thrones, we're seated in heavenly places with God, like, And they talk about the crown of martyrdom, right? Like, we'll receive crowns when we die. I mean, it's beautiful, it's spiritual, but I think it meant a lot more to them in that first generation, because they're like, nah, bro, like, Peter's kind of like the prime minister of this kingdom, and Paul is like, got this special mission to the Gentiles, you know, that Peter passed on to him. These dudes died in Rome, which means they received their crowns in Rome. So these men were crowned over Rome. And that's like, I think that was very, very significant to the first generation church, the early church. And it's a little lost on us because we just don't live in that world anymore. But like, it's like, yo, like, they used to call it the church militant for a reason. Like, these were serious dudes. Like, they didn't act without authorization from, you know, from the apostles, in the study, I break down the misconceptions that like Paul and Peter had a rivalry. Like they were close friends, and like Paul was always acting under orders. He was under orders from the church in Jerusalem, and specifically wow. Peter. So it's like, it's these fascinating little nuances you see in scripture that you didn't really like quite learn what it meant unless you're looking at it through the lens of, well, what was promised to these people? Like, what were they expecting? So these were all like Jewish guys who knew that these prophecies were being fulfilled in their day. Like, it's like Daniel said this was going to happen, and that's why Acts was written the way it was. And it's really fascinating stuff. And it's like all about Jesus is literally the king of the freaking world, and like everyone is going to bow the knee to him. Is what the book of Acts, all that New Testament is about. And it's pretty powerful when you really see what really happened in that first generation. The finished work of Christ, bro. I'm all about it.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah,
it's really mind-blowing stuff.
Wow. Wow. So good, man. Wow. Yeah, man. That's so good. Woo. Well, man, well, I just want to honor your time, you know. But, like, man, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Like, it's been so good. For everyone listening to the podcast right now, please, next week, definitely check out Workman's Song. They're going to be on November 14th in Manhattan at Rockwood Music Hall, November 15th in Brooklyn at the Skinny Dennis, November 16th in Manhattan at Bowery Electric, November 17th in Brooklyn at Tony Boy, and November 19th at The Groove in Manhattan. And each set is going to be unique, You know what I mean? Unique to the space. You know, at the Skinny Dennis, it's gonna be a lot of country, a lot of, you know, just some good stuff. Some good stuff, and just like original music at Rockwood, and some rock and like funk, you know, stuff like that at Bowery Electric, and then the Groove. We'll see what happens. But Sean, I just want to say thank you so much. I feel like not only do you talk about, you know, your art and the work and the ministry that you do, but you express it in such a way that I feel like any person would be able to understand. And I feel like that's like one of the main things I think they teach us in seminary is like, how do we make the message, whether it's, you know, Jesus, but or something else, but like, how do we do the message in a way that children could understand? And it just really shows me just how good of a father you are, and a husband, and a family man, and just like how God has really just has continued to show up and bless you. And so I just thank you so much for this opportunity. And yeah, man, I bless you, man. And like, I just wanted to say a quick prayer for you to just bless this tour and your family. So Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you so much for Sean McMahon, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in him and in his family and his wife and his children. God, I thank you for what you're doing, Lord God, in his church and in his community, in the dive bars, Lord God, in the circuit ride tour, Lord God, from November 9th to November 19th and more. God, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that your spirit, Lord God, would really reach seekers, Lord God, people who are, you know, into having a good time. And I pray, God, that their hearts would be open to the message, Lord God, the message of the cross, the message of happiness, that New York is New York, you know, and Brooklyn's Brooklyn. But I believe, God, that you're going to really use this tour to set people free, to set revival in the hearts of men and women, and just really do your way, Lord God, like have your way, just like you did in the circuit rides in the past, Lord God. Ride in, Lord God, ride in with your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Thank you for your prayer.
Bro. Man.
It's good to pray for each other.
Yeah, it is, man. I look forward to seeing you and getting to know you and just like meeting your family, and it's gonna be really cool. Yeah.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, for having me on. And yeah, I look forward to seeing you. And I feel like there's someone out there who's like, yo, this guy said that Jesus was a colonizer, and I'm talking to you, whoever that is, you should come hang out. We should come have a conversation. Because I feel like God was like, are you really going to say that? Like, I think it's
definitely
fine to say that, but like someone's going to want to talk to you. And I'm like, that's exactly right. Come on out and talk to me about that. I mean, I love talking about this stuff. And by the way, as you know, JP, like that isn't how I would have put it, you know, like a few years ago. And I know we're always seeing different angles of the gospel and ways to see it. So, you know, a conversation is a conversation. It's a vessel for God to speak his words into people's lives. And I look forward to conversations we're going to have. And to all your listeners, I hope we get to see each other, have some musical dance conversations, and also like get to have some real conversation at, you know, before and after the show.
Definitely. Definitely. You can follow Workman Song and learn even more and remind yourself of these dates at Workman Song on Instagram. And you can also find it on my page at JP is Lavish and at Who Dares Wins Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. God bless you.